Tēnā koutou katoa, welcome to Whiti Whiti. You're with us this evening and I'm Hini Hōtirine. Now the topic for tonight's kōrero is around community education and its involvement. And particularly we're looking at a few initiatives here in Te Huku o Te Ika in the Far North region and what education opportunities and kaupapa have been driven from the grassroots and are benefiting us or directly in our unique rohe. Nō reira, aku mahi katoa ki a tātou I rungi te āhuatanga o tēnei pō. Our first speaker this evening is Selena Bursich. Nō miti miti ia, he wahine kahanei ki te poipoi a tātou tamariki I roto I ngā kura, and Selena is also employed at REAP here in Kaitaia. Ngā mahi ki a koe, Selena?
Tēnā koutou katoa. O te hiku o te ika, kia ora.
Kia ora. Kia ora, ngā mahi, and our second guest this evening joining us is Siobhan Reti, he uri anō no Te Rārua. Hui anō ko ia te pau o etahi o ngā mahi ko hungahunga I te kāinga. And of course, Siobhan is joining us as being very passionate and an advocate within the early childcare field, focusing particularly on te reo Māori as well and outcomes and achievements for us here in the rohe of Te Hiku o Te Ika. Kia ora ki a koe, Chef, ngā mahi o te wā.
Tēnā koe, hoa, kia ora Sal.
Kia ora.
Ka pai, ka pai. Nō reira, wahine mā, great to have you here this this evening. Tell me first with you, Chef, what's happening? You're leading out a lot of community-ish initiatives around ECE development at home and centres. What would you like to let us know? Because I know for a long time you've been really driving the kōrero about education should be determined by what we want, our own needs within our own rohe. What's happening here in Te Hiku?
I think one of the major issues that's right across the board from ECE right through to whare kura is the lack of engagement that's happened since COVID. So once we had to go into home-based learning, although we are home-based ECE, because tamariki couldn't come in, our whānau were amazing. They found ways to make it work. They took them back to their awa, they took them back to their maunga, they did stuff with their tamariki that we would have done with our parents. And so I think there's been this interesting struggle getting back into normality that maybe what was normal for us before, it doesn't suit us anymore. And we've actually found another way of doing things. So although I see on the news tonight, there's, you know, all these concerns about tamariki not engaging at kura or at school, I don't see that as a bad thing at all. The fact that we have whānau that have realised they have a lot to give their tamariki, and just because they're not qualified teachers doesn't mean that they don't have things to teach. And so, yeah, that's a big thing that I see going on. And so for us, our lens is just to look at that as a positive, not like, oh no, what have we done wrong? How do we get these kids back? It's how do we support these whānau to flourish with what they're doing?
Tika, absolutely. Because of course we have such a unique region. We're close to the moana, to our awa, to the maunga, the ngāhere. And what is that the future education for us is actually taking us out of the classroom setting and more into a whānau environment? What's happening at REAP, Selena? What's some initiatives happening there or even in your own community or in Mitimiti and Pangaru and those areas?
I think for a long time now, so Māori are just naturally gregarious people. And with COVID, we weren't able to be those type of people where we go and want to be kanohi ki te kanohi. We don't like, we think we like screens, but it's just a bit of a new addiction that we have to try and overcome. But we actually love meeting people face to face and interacting. And I think being out in the taiao and being out in our environment close to our maunga, those are all wellness tools that we've known for a long time, but we actually need to implement that more into classrooms now. For about 14 years, I think we've been doing noho taiao, and I'm a number one candidate for, I used to love walking on the road instead of through the paddock. when I was growing up, even though I lived in Mitimati, but for 14 years of doing noho taiao because I know waiata, I've fallen in love with the taiao and seen how it can be beautiful once again as an adult, as a pakeke. And seeing kids come from, I call them the gaming tans that they have, where they're quite not making eye contact, and then they're on a kayak and they have to paddle for their lives, but they got a life jacket on or a waka ama, and they're re-engaging and they're coming alive. And so, and having to dig a hole, things like that, it's quite hard for them, a lot of them, and just to even push themselves past the normal of getting up, having a shower, going to school, all those things seem quite easy after they've been on an experience like that. 3 days hard out on a tile, yeah, that kind of thing.
Kia ora, Selena. Now, Chef, we're talking about the health of the tamariki post-COVID. Is it really about the health of the tamariki or the health of the whānau? Are the parents in a better place because of COVID, or they're just saying, look, we just don't want to participate in that system? And if that's happening, do they need extra support? Because sometimes, you know, when we're in these remote communities such as Pawaringa, and you're wanting to homeschool your children or do things a bit more independently of the system, there's not a lot of support unless we know we have whānau. Do you think we need to go to the government constantly to be lobbying for funding, or is there other ways to achieve what we want?
Yeah, one of the things that I've always found to be set up against us is in ECE. So if I'm a kaiako at a school or an ECE centre, my tamariki can attend. I'm paid, I look after them the same as I look after all the other tamariki that I have. In home-based ECE, that's not allowed to happen. So I can have my tamariki at home, but I can only get paid for children that aren't my own. And when I think of a kaupapa Māori perspective, this seems insane. I'm not going to ignore my children. They're getting more from me than they would if I dropped them off to the neighbour. So why is it that the neighbour can be financially supported to teach them and I can't? And that's always been a big issue for me. When we look out to, like you said, our kāinga back in Pawaringa, you know, being real, a lot of our whānau would struggle to pass police vets to be able to run an ECE yep. in their own home. Things like that, it's where, as long as tamariki are safe, I don't care if you got a drink driving conviction 15 years ago, but it's those little things that are just slow it down. And so, yeah, we've had a lot of whānau that were doing well before COVID, they were comfortable and have worked out that actually we're happy to keep our tamariki home. They're doing great. It would be great if the funding that we were getting paid to look after their tamariki could go to them so that they can continue to do the stuff they were doing with us. That's not an option. So that if I could push for anything in terms of funding whānau-based early childhood, that's one of them. But the whānau that were struggling and on the high risk end, that's been real hard. That's been real hard on them when they didn't have kaiako every time we went into level 3 and 4, because we also run a social service and we have whānau resilience contracts, so pretty well saying domestic violence.
Yeah.
Those whānau struggled. They struggled big time. They're already stressed. They've already got addiction issues, and now they've also got their tamariki at home full time with them, which they're not used to. So yeah, that's a whole other take where it's really the parents that we're trying to support a lot more in terms of getting them to re-engage. Even if, like, we should be sending our tamariki to kura to learn, but if you're just sending them there to give you a break so that you're not hitting them, that's a start. Like, you know, it's just, we have to be real. We've got to be real with some of our whānau.
Yeah. So it's two major kaupapa there, recognizing parents as first teachers and supporting that, and also allowing for our parents that are still to get there to be supported. Yeah. So kia ora, Chef. And Selena, so just continuing with that kōrero a bit further, you say you've been involved in these taiao programs, and some of them lately my son Otane obviously came on one and he found it so enjoyable. He's not a in the box kind of boy, but he actually really enjoyed the presence of the scientists there. So it was the outside tāiao noho marae wānanga, but then we had this Pākehā science there, and lately we've been a little bit put off the Pākehā scientists and being told, you know, what to do. But there seems, is there a fit? Are we actually learning to work together a bit more? What's happening, or are they kind of coming? Yeah. What's going on there,
Selena? I certainly over the last 5 years, I've really tried. When I first started at REAP, we had geo camps which were funded by Statoil, funny enough. And it was the do-good thing because they were up here in the north pushing testing and all that. And so their do-good thing was to give money to a Crown Research Institute and do a good thing for rural kids out in little schools. And so they got all these kids in, and the kids were coming in from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock for 11 days straight. Imagine a kid from Te Hapua getting to school, travelling down to Kaitaia, 9 to 3, and then going back every day for 11 days. That might as well be walking to school like back in the days and putting your feet in the cow poo. But that's how hard it was for them. And so after a couple of years, when Statoil ran away, they're still running these geo noho down in Wairarapa because that's where the oil must be. We carried on looking for funding. We couldn't find it. The geo camps were too expensive to run. About 110 grand they cost to run. So we ended up, I said, look, let's try it. We put Mātauranga Māori with the geo camp concept, and we'll make a geo noho. We kind of had to hold on to the geo just to give them a little bit of mana, I suppose. a bit of a mixture, and so it worked. We ran three of them in 2020 during the lockdowns, during the levels. Every time it was level one, we were in there. I think we had a break between one, but we managed to get about 15 to 16 schools in year 7 to 8 to all come together. And what I found from that is that the kids really, in that year 7 and 8 range, are very influential before they become teenagers. But the other thing is that they really need to meet with each other and whakawhanaungatanga, so that when they go to high school, it's not a big shock to them, because a lot of our little schools, like Herikeno, Pamapuri, all of them will end up at either Kaitaia College or a bigger school, where they have to deal with hundreds of teenagers and peers. And so I found, we just had a geo noho 2 weeks ago. For example, I think schools are dying for this, for outside education, the experiences outside. Our teachers, they do as best as they can, but not all of them are mātanga in science, and so I'm not either. I think after 5 geo noho, I kind of am. But but bringing in the scientists mixed with our Mātauranga Māori has been a brilliant. An example is coming to Whatawhiwhi and having a kōrero at the Pō at Mai Tai Pā, and then talking about what it looked like hundreds of years ago in a possible tsunami, and then going to Kahukura's Net on the rocks there and talking about the Pūrākau, and then talking about the submarine landslides and how it's actually made over millions of years. And the kids just remember all this kōrero, and they get inspired to think, gee, I think I want to be one of those guys. They're pretty cool. Yeah, and it really is trying to get our kids interested into science, but science equals being out in the environment as well, just as much as tāiao kōrero. So yeah, we have to use those mātanga for a certain amount of time, but we mix it with what we know as mātanga as well, in the te ao Māori side of things. They look at land differently now. Kind of like looking at a cow differently after you've been dairy farming.
Well, it's relevant. Stories from our own environment, and this is what we know through our paki waitara and our kōrero tuku iho. And we're coming to the conclusion of our show. It's gone so fast, but just a couple more points I want us to pick up on before we finish off, Chef. Now, all those years ago when we were working in ECE here in Kaitaia, and we started to take on, like, this is probably over 15 years ago now, I think, take on using marama taka as a model, as implementing in the curriculum and of course doing it without any funding, but doing it because we absolutely believed in it and could see the benefits. And so it's really grown. It's massive now. There's a national movement in Maramataka, but I don't think the rest of the country realizes that it's all come from Te Hiku or Te Ika, right? Because we just kept on going and kept on going and teaching more and kept on now. And now, ko puta tātou ki te ao marama. How exciting is that? Any comments there on this attitude that we have in the north, is we know what's right for us and we're going to drive it all the way.
Yeah. So the most recent educational stuff we've been doing has been with adults, specifically with Tāne Māori. And that has just been so inspirational for me because I've been in an early childhood for so 22 years. So to see the other end of it, where we've got adults that perhaps didn't have a great kohanga or ECU experience, they didn't have a great experience at school altogether, and to try and start implementing changes there. So one of the things that we did was we based the first program, we based it all around getting out into the taiao, around waka. There was a lot of waka ama going on. The second round, I doubted myself a little bit, and I was like, oh, I think they need credits. And so we did a whole lot of NCA credits, and after about 2 or 3 weeks, I could just tell I was talking to zombies. They didn't care. They were all outside. And so we took them to, we took them to Ahipara, and Ruben took them through the Maramataka, and their eyes lit up. There's a lot to the Maramataka to fit into 3 or 4 hours. And these men that haven't had jobs for a long time, that are struggling with stuff going on at home, soaked it in. They absolutely soaked it in. They remembered a whole lot of stuff. They remembered, they were able to link it to how it affects them in their lives and start to recognize those things. And I just kicked myself that I didn't just trust, like you said, what we know works and do that again. So it was a good eye-opener in terms of doing the wrong thing. So once we've done further rounds, we teach them the Maramataka from the start, we teach them mana potential, and we just stick with kaupapa Māori and they soak it in, and it's easy for them.
Well, that's great to hear, Chef. Great to hear. And our tāne are benefiting. We do need to put a lot into our Māori men, and just to see these initiatives again coming from our own community. Kia ora. And just your final words, Selena, anything you'd like to share? I know you've been also educating our tamariki around using music, learning by way of sound, waiata. Any thoughts there just to conclude our session?
Oh, just to make education fun, kinesthetic, get outside, get in touch with your wairua so that you can, music and taiao helps you with your wairua. And if our wairua is right, then everything else will fall into place. But I'm taking the Maramataka around with me to every wānanga now, trying to say, hey, you need one of these, man. This is like the best wellness tool ever. So, yeah, I'm a firm believer in the Maramataka too as a wellness tool and just an evaluation tool too for yourself.
Yeah, I was actually down at Te Rūrua today, presenting on Maramataka, and they want to that's the principal and teachers union, and they want to restructure everything through Maramataka. And I thought to myself, Maramataka is really at the very basic level is working with our land, our environment, and right down to planting and gardening. So how bad would it be if we just all went back to the garden? And that's the real education there, right? Yeah. And this is the message you're both saying tonight. It's very basic, but it's very tika and relevant. Yeah. So ngā mihi ki au kaurua e wahine mā, kua huna mai ki tēnei wahanga, our wahanga of Whitiwhiti, talking about take of ours in the kāinga, local issues with a particular focus on Taitokiro and our region of Te Hiku o Te Ika. Thank you both. Selena Bursa, ngā mihi ki a koe mō o mahi, mahi rawa, rawe, katoa mō a tātou nei taitamariki. Kia koe hoki e Chef Reti, aku mihi ki a koe rutu i te hū Marie, pō Marie, kia tātou katoa, mauri ora. Kia ora.
Pō Marie.